Bless you, Galen.
Amen. Thank you.
So did, am I on? Did the puppy get your face this morning? Puppy lick your face this morning? What Dale was just saying there just reminded me of when we're reading the Word, or we're praying, and we're talking to God, and all of a sudden something just jumps out at us and gets us. It's sort of the same as when you're talking to a puppy. You're cute puppy, you know, and it just up and gets you in the face just like that before you have time to get away from it. So sometimes when you're reading the Word of God or you're in prayer, all of a sudden, boom, it gets you before you even know what happened. Okay, so this morning, I am excited. Is that up? Well, that's coming on. Thank you for the thank you to everyone for the meals that you've given to me and my wife for the baby meals. They were very good. Thank you very much. In fact, we have a couple containers out there for people on the table. So if you brought us a meal and you're missing a container, it's probably out there. So pick it up and thank you. Okay, so I'm excited about this morning. And when, like I normally do, I like to speak about something that's on my heart, something that I've been going through in my life, and I like when you guys just interrupt me and ask questions because I get on this roll of whatever's on my heart. And I like to believe that what's on my heart is what's on the Father's heart, as Dale prayed. So stuff that comes out of my journey and stories that come out of that. So we're going to talk about confessions. Confession. Now, what is a confession? Sometimes, do you have a negative or a positive thought when you think of confession? Is it negative? Raise your hand if it's negative. Raise your hand if it's positive. Good. Good. So that's what I want to look at today is the positive confession. What are you confessing? What is confession? But another word for it is testimony or declaration. What are you declaring out? What are you speaking? Your words. And more recently, I ran into the thing of affirmations. People speak affirmations. Some people speak declarations. I declare I'm going to be this. Or I declare I am, I spoke a declaration. I declare I'm a good dad. That was one of my declarations, because I really wanted to change my belief about my dadship. And so I started declaring that I'm a good dad. And the affirmation would say, I'm a good dad because I play with my children. And so you add something on it so you know why you're a good dad. So this is just the difference there. So what is our confession? We're going to talk about it in the form of confession because I see a lot of that in the Bible. So the first verse I have is Hebrews 3:1 says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Okay, Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. So we know that. Let's go to the next chapter. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Okay, so we're again looking at this confession, but it doesn't say what it is. So the question is, what is our confession? And I want your participation here. What's our confession? Simple, it's not a trick question. I just want to know you're awake. What are you confessing? Okay, we're confessing our sins. Good.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus is Lord? Yes. What else? Coming into agreement with God. Right, that is exactly what I'm looking at today. So, we confess the truth of the Bible. What does the Bible say? That's what we're going to declare. That's what we're going to confess. What is the work of Christ? We're going to confess that. We're going to declare that. Who we are in Christ. We're going to declare out who I am in Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm free from sin. That's who I am in Christ. Who Jesus is as our Lord and Savior. He's our Redeemer. He is our Father. He is our Savior, all of these things. We're going to confess this out and declare that. That's things that we are confessing. So, good. Are we confessing this? It's important that we are confessing it, that we're making these declarations. Now, there's two types of confessions. Number one is a confession of our belief. All right, so we confess when the sun is shining and everything is good, God is good, and the people say, amen, the people say also, all the time, yes. God is good all the time. Isn't that it's almost a cliche saying, but we all say it. God is good all the time. And when the sun is shining and God appears to be good in our eyes, things are going good in our life, God is good. He is an awesome Father. He is our provider. He is our protector. He is our lover. He is our friend. Everything is going well. We can easily declare this out, but then the storms come. The storms come, and the slides changes, we think. And we confess our unbelief. We are programmed to be double-minded. We have been programmed to be double-minded. We will confess God is good, and we'll turn right around and say, but not for me. God is good, he works for you, but not for me. God is good, but not today. Right? People say this all the time. If you start paying attention to yourself, it's embarrassing how many times I catch myself saying, God is good, God this, God that, declaring the word of God, and then turning around and saying the opposite when the storm comes. That is not what we want to do. Because when we do this, the problem is we know the truth in our head. We all have been grown up with the Bible. We can read the Bible. We know exactly what the Bible says, but it's not always in our heart. And so if we're saying something, but when the storms come and we say the opposite, we know that that's not in our heart. We don't actually know that deep in our heart. So I am, there we go. Every time you confess a weakness or a failure, you are destroying your confidence in God. Think about that. Yeah, I just can't get over my anger problems. What did I just say? My anger is bigger than God. I just can't shake alcohol. It's too big. It's too big for God, is what I just said. I want to believe, but listen for that but. We'll find out what we actually believe. I actually believe, if I'm saying my anger, I just can't get rid of my anger, I'm actually believing that God isn't big enough for my anger. I don't want to believe that way. So I need to change some things. How often do you add a disclaimer before or after you pray for someone for healing? This one is almost funny, but people, you want to pray, they want you to pray for them. Let's say they have a broken arm. Well, I don't know if this will work, but yeah, I'll pray for you. What did I do? I just gave a disclaimer. I just put out my unbelief. We do this a lot. We're actually programmed to do it. We're programmed to think like this because, not by God, we're programmed to think like this by the devil because we are discrediting our faith. We're talking about faith this morning. I thought a lot of what you shared this morning ties right in, set me up, so thank you. Our faith, let's go on. Faith is when you hold to your confession in the face of defeat. All right, so you're going to, and it's bigger than what we can do. We know we can't do this. We can't make this happen, but we're going to step out and we're going to declare something and then we're going to stand on that. And it's taking a risk. And that was a question I asked. How do you spell faith? I believe we spell it risk. R-I-S-K. We take a risk. That's how I see faith. And this is a risk specifically with our declarations. And so I'm going to use the idea of healing. So we step out and we say, I call forth healing or pray for healing and release healing, whatever. We're taking a risk. We don't know if that person's going to get healed. Or do we? It depends how much our faith. It does depend. Here's the catch. It depends how much our faith is growing. Now, with a headache, I am getting to the point where if someone has a headache, I'm pretty confident that thing's going to leave. I've seen so many headaches leave. Now, if you're going to pray for cancer, well, that feels really big. It's really no big different to God than a headache. But, yeah.
I have a question. What are you risking?
What am I risking? Okay. Okay, so what are you risking? What are you risking? What do you think?
I think you're risking yourself in it, and that's nothing
Right. You risk it not working. And that makes you fear self-image, failure, fear of failure, fear of what other, fear of how you're going to make God look, fear of all this stuff. So I just found something out this week. We had Bible study on Wednesday night, and I was driving around looking for a parking spot. Finally found a parking spot. And as I was driving in the street, I saw a guy sitting in his car. And I said, man, if that guy don't look like he has a spirit of death on him, I don't know what it is. So I park, and I come balking out, and on an impulse, I went over to him. I said, hey, can I pray for you? He's like, pray? Yeah, I want to pray. He was shocked. I want to pray for you. You look like you're in pain. You have a neck brace on. And he did. And he's, sure, go ahead. And so, okay, I went over there, and I prayed for him. I commanded his neck to come into alignment and all this stuff. And then I blessed him and left. The next day, it dawned on me, I didn't actually believe he was going to get healed. That's why I left so quick. I'd stepped out and took the risk, but I didn't wait to see what God was going to do. And so I said, Lord, I want another opportunity. How many of you think that was a dumb prayer? And so yesterday I go to look at something, look at a microwave, of all things. Ours quit. And we needed a microwave really bad, so we're going to go out and just grab one real cheap somewhere. So I went in to look at this microwave, and I get there. I'm talking to the guy. I said, yeah, he said, I broke my neck. Light bulb. God's giving me a second chance. I got to pray for this guy. So, man, story on story. I'm excited to pray for this guy because Friday night I had went into Phil Haven, and I was visiting a guy in there, and I had a blast. The Holy Spirit showed up. This guy's like, Galen, I'm going to hell. I've given up on God. It's not working. He said, the devil's jumping on me right now. I said, well, tell him to leave. Leave, devil. No, no, no. Tell him to leave. Okay, get out of here. And so I was like, reached my hand, and I said, get out of here. And then I felt the Holy Spirit coming through my hand, just hitting him. And he's like, wow, I feel that. Wow, that's wild. And we had fun a whole hour, and the whole hour was Holy Spirit just, boom, hitting this guy from no vision, no passion. He's like, he's a Galen, you don't understand. I need a lot of healing. I said, okay, say, Lord, I need a lot of healing. He's like, whoa, something just happened. Great. And then he's like, I need a goal in life. Just random, right? Random. I was like, okay, what goal do you want in life? I want to be a preacher. Okay. So I pick up his plastic pencil, which you could hardly write with it because you're not allowed to have so they couldn't stab anybody. And I wrote down preacher. And so we prayed through some more stuff, and he said, I need a vision. I'm sitting here. I want to die. That's the reason he's in there, suicidal. He keeps trying to kill himself. I want to die. I said, well, what's my vision? Oh, he said, the devil's speaking to me again. Well, what's the devil telling you? He's telling me it's all about me. I said, that's not right. That's not truth, is it? No, it's not. Okay, well, let's repent for that. Get rid of that. And the next thing we know, it's all about God. That's your vision. Oh, yeah. Okay. By the time he walks me out of there, he was so fired up. He's wanting to go preach and save the world. It's fun when God shows up. So I go into the guy to pray for the guy with the microwave and the broken neck. Okay, I have all this in my memory. I'm going to pray for him. This is exciting. Hey, I said, I want to pray for you. Nah, I don't believe in God. Okay, well, I still love to pray for you. All right, if you want to. So I lay hands on him. I pray for him. God, I command this neck to come in alignment and all that stuff. And we're done praying. And does you feel any difference? This time I'm not running off. Do you feel any difference? Nope. All right, let me pray again. I pray again. Nope. He's done with that by now. He don't want any more prayer. It don't work. I'm driving home, and all of a sudden I realize I've given up on this guy already. I ain't going to do that. Stop it, Galen. I choose to believe that God can still touch this guy. I'm not just going to stop just because I didn't see it right now. He can still work it in his life. And so I'm holding on to that belief. I would just love this guy to figure out who we were and come back and call us back and say, my neck is completely healed. And I'm standing on that. Because what happens is so often we pray for something and we don't see it happen and we walk away. All right, God don't work. Done. Well, that don't work because I just changed my confession. I confessed, I declared healing over this person, and then I walk away, didn't see it, and so I declare again, it don't work. No, I said, I'm not going to declare that this time. I'm going to declare he is healed. I don't know what's going to happen, but that's the declaration I'm standing on. And I'm kind of excited about that thought. So a slave is told every move to make and what his tools are. If we are going around and we believe that, should I pray for somebody? Lord, tell me if I should pray for, yes, okay, I'll go pray for them. If we have to live like that, that God has to point somebody out before we can pray for anybody, that's what how a slave lives. Right? He is told what to do and what tools to use. Now, an heir, on the other hand, an heir of the king, he knows that he has access to the whole thing, the whole kingdom. He knows that that God doesn't have to tell him who to pray for. He has freedom to pray for anybody and give what God has given him. And we need to start thinking as an heir, because we're heirs. This stuff is available to us, and we need to do this. But to do that, people say, well, I don't have it, or I'm still a baby, or whatever. Whatever the excuse is. Well, the excuse is, in my mind, is I'm afraid to step out and take a risk. Because we don't know until we step out and take a risk. And so I've started to decide this in my mind. I'm going to step out and take a risk and see what happens. Let's take a risk beyond the risk I thought I was taking. Let's choose to take more risk. If you make a confession or declaration without having a good foundation, the devil is going to try to slap you upside the head. It's not what that says, but it's what it means. If you make a declaration and you don't know what you're saying, you don't know that for sure that's in the God is good all the time. We hear this thing. Is that actually in the Bible? Let's say we declare this thing, God is good and he is faithful and he is going to come through for me in my finances in this situation. But we don't actually know that God actually says that. We just know the nice phrase. Well, the devil is going to test you on that. He is going to come back and test you. He's going to say, he don't actually know what he's talking about. He's just making a great statement. Anybody can make a great statement. I'm going to test him. And he will. Every time you make a confession or a declaration, you are scheduling your next test. Do you get that? Every time you make a declaration or a confession of the Word of God, you're scheduling your next test. So if anger is the issue, I declare that anger is broken. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I will live in love and patience and gentleness. Guess where you're going to be tested? Anybody have a wild guess? Who said something?
Anger!
Yes! You have to pass the test. That test is always going to be there. You're going to have to pass the test before you have a testimony. Yeah.
A test is not negative.
A test is not negative. How many of you passed a test to have a driver's license? Yeah, I doubt there's anybody here that drives without a driver's license. How many of you passed a test to get to the next grade? We all do. A test is a good thing. We look forward to tests. And so if you're making a declaration, anger is no longer a part of my life, I choose to surrender that to God. I put it in the blood of Jesus. I'm going to choose to be the new man and live in patience and love and goodness, all of these things. Yes, you're going to be tested, and yes, you have what it takes to walk through it.
Amen.
Here's what happens. Instead of passing the test, so many people keep retaking the test and to get the monies. Because this is what happens at salvation. We draw this line in the sand. I know I said this before, but I'll do it again. There's a line drawn in the sand at salvation. And we're on this side, and all that over there is the devil's territory. And we're standing here, and all of a sudden we realize, hey, that's part of my inheritance. I'm not supposed to walk in anger. You step over the line. I claim freedom of anger. You just stepped into the devil's territory because that was not a part of your life before. And all of a sudden, the devil starts slapping you in the face, and you're like, oh, whoa, wait, I got hit. Well, guess what? You think the devil came after you. You went after the devil. Of course you got hit. You went after the devil. So that's when you step across the line and you tell the devil, this is now yours, and he's supposed to get his hell all out of there. Because it's now God's territory. But so many people are stepping out there across the line, and they get hit. Oh, boy, they missed it again. They got angry again. They got frustrated again. They drank again, whatever it is. And they have to step back, and all they have is the monies. I'm going to try it again. Boom, gets hit. Step back. All you got is the monies. You know what? If you want to get past the monies, you have to pass the test. It's that difficult and that simple in the same breath. Therefore, it is very important that you know the validity of your confession. If you're going to declare that God's blood is good enough, strong enough to cover your sins, to cover the anger, to cover the alcohol, to cover whatever it is, you're going to have to know that's in the Bible. You're going to have to know this is for real. Because Satan is going to come back and he's going to try to tempt you and say it's not working for you. And you're going to have to say, Satan, look, it's right here in the Word of God. Says it. And I'm claiming this. This is my declaration. I'm not going to agree with the lie you're telling me. I'm going to agree with the Word of God. Nothing else. And he's going to push your buttons and he's going to test you and he's going to try you. And you're going to win. And you're going to pass your test. Your first test as a believer, in my mind, is this verse right here. Confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know how many people I've prayed with, and they said, Galen, I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel any difference. Well, God didn't say, confess the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to feel a difference. God didn't say, confess, and you're going to get all warm and shaky. No. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Christ. You may not feel anything. And believe in your heart and you will be saved. Oh, so we make our declarations and then we choose to stand on that. We have to know what we're standing on. We got to know it's in the Bible and we choose to stand on that. Believe that this is going to work. This is truth. And God's going to come through. We have to believe that when we make that declaration, we put it out there, God is going into work on our behalf to make things happen. Even if we don't see it or feel it at that moment. We have to believe it. And so if we're going to believe it, we got to know it's in the Word of God. We got to know it's something we can actually stand on. What is seen and known is what's allowed in the courtroom. So if you lived your life like this, that every word that comes out of your mouth, you know is going to be tried in the courtroom, would it change the way you speak? Would it change the way you live? Well, the truth is, I believe that every word and every action is being tried in the courtroom of heaven. The devil is a legalist. He's up there. He's looking for everything you do wrong. God brings it into the courtroom of heaven. Here we go. He lied. This is one of your children, and he lied. This is one of your children, and he is no longer living up to your standards. This is one of your children, and he's doing this over here. Boom, I want you to throw the book at him. Woo! And I don't know how that goes, how that looks up there. I'd love to know. But what I do know is that our words are important. Our actions, our words, what we're doing is very important. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. What we're saying is either justifying us or condemning us. And I believe the devil has a lot to do with that. It's feeding us lies and starting to getting us to believe them, and then actually handing them over in the courtroom of heaven and getting it sealed. And they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when forced, faced with death. They overcame the devil. How? By salvation. We overcome through salvation. That's the number one step. But the next thing he's saying is our declaration. The things we say. That's how we're, your words predict your future. Did you know that? Your words predict your future. If I say, I am going to be a rich man, or I am a loser, do you think I have a tendency to get rich, or do you think I have a tendency to be a loser based on what I said? You think so? What? Poor? Or I'm going to be poor? Yeah. If I say I'm going to be poor, I'm probably going to be poor. I'm programming my mind to think that way. If I say I'm going to be rich, I'm programming my mind to think that way. And that's, we tend to go those declarations. And so, like I said in the beginning, people are teaching. The teaching is declare these things. This is who I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to be. And that's good. And a little bit later, I'm going to talk about that a little more. Proverbs 26, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, it was only a joke. I used to love joking, teasing people, until I hit this verse. And then I couldn't get past it anymore. It's the same as a madman who is throwing arrows and death and firebrands at people. Wow. I really don't want to do that with my words. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word that they speak. This is what Jesus is saying. On the day of the end of the world, we're going to give an account for every careless word we speak. So do not take an oath by your head. You cannot make one hair white or black. Let your what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. And this verse jumped out at me this morning. Puppy licked me in the face. Verse jumped out at me. The last phrase, anything more than this comes from evil. Oh, anything more than this. So we can attach, think in your mind, people say, boom, yes, or this, no. We attach, and people attach, all kinds of words to their yes and their no. Those words, it's not saying it is evil, but it's saying it's coming from a root of evil. And that just hit me in a new light. Our words are important. Okay, we're going to go on. There's two more types of confessions. Number one is confessing of sin, like we brought out. And the other one is declaring the truth. Before it was confessing what is in the Bible and then confessing what you don't believe about it. Now it's confessing our sin and declaring the truth. Both of these things are good things. Confession is repentance. We're going to do this on a daily basis. We're going to keep repenting whenever we recognize that we have stepped out of agreement with God. So remember, this is stuff that's going into the courtroom of heaven. So we step out of agreement with God. Oh, yeah, I repent for that. And I declare the truth. We do confession and repentance on a daily basis. At least I do. Confession and declaration on a daily basis. This requires that we know what we're confessing, what God has done for us, what God has done through the Word and through His Holy Spirit, who we are in Christ. We confess who we are in Christ and what God can do through us. We confess what God can do through us. Now, have you ever heard of a sinner confess to be a saint? I have heard sinners confess to be Christians. But I have never heard a sinner confess to be a saint. I was talking to a guy the other day, and I said, between a 1 and a 10, 1 being really low and 10 being excellent, where is your relationship with Jesus Christ? He said, 10. Well, I was holding a conversation with him, so I knew some things about him. I said, you tell me a 10, but you're not living with your wife, but you're living with a girlfriend. Yeah, but I'm going to make that right before I die. My mind was going something like this. If that's how honest you're going to be with me, I don't think I can help you. I repented of that, and I believe I can help him. But your confession and your declarations are important. He's telling me he is a Christian, but he's confessing sin, known sin that he's not willing to correct right now. And I believe in my mind, I saw what he was. I saw his heart and where he was headed. And I don't judge him, but I know where I believe I know where he was at. If you're not willing to get rid of that and deal with that, you can't call yourself a saint. You might be a Christian, but you can't call yourself a saint. So what would happen if the church would confess themselves to be a new creature in Christ instead of the struggling sinner, struggling church member? I know there's so many people that we've read stories about or whatever, and even myself in the past, I was a struggler. I'm struggling. Well, as long as I was struggling, I'm going to struggle. But when I flip it and start believing that I'm a new creature in Christ and he has put his new heart inside of me, all of a sudden I see life from a different focus. The focus is not on this long, hard struggle. The focus is on what God has done, and that's who I'm called to be. And it changes the way you want to live. There's a woman I know, and every time I would meet her, how are you? Oh, man, God's just, oh, this is just, oh, whew. It was awful. She got a hold of this concept, and she said, you know what? God told me I am blessed and highly favored. And so that's what I am. Every time I meet her, how are you? I am blessed and highly favored. And you know what? She is blessed and highly favored. It is amazing. The stories that are coming out of her life are incredible. I love to hear her stories because she is so blessed and highly favored. Everywhere she goes, she's just every day is like an adventure. I would love to tell her stories, but we don't have time. She has so many wild stories. They're true because she is blessed and highly favored, but she didn't used to know that. And she don't always feel it, but that's what she declares. That is what she declares. So we're going to go over a few verses and see if we can figure out how this works. So this verse, Ephesians 1:7, in Christ we have been redeemed through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which was lavished on us in all wisdom and might, or insight. So what is the declaration that we're declaring there? Declaration. Someone say something. We're redeemed. Yes. Declaration is we're redeemed. Our sins are forgiven and grace is lavished on us. What is the test the devil's going to throw at us?
Are you really saved?
Are you really saved? Yeah. Most new Christians struggle with that. That's a test that I believe is the first test for a Christian. Am I really saved? And some people stay in there for 50 years. Next one. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. What is going to be the declaration? What is the declaration simplified?
God's got us.
God's got us. Okay, God will strengthen you and help you. He got us. What is going to be the test? Fear. Fear. We'll do one more. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. What's going to be the declaration? Oops. We have overcome because Christ is in us. And the test is going to be, you didn't overcome. You're a loser. You can't claim that. And I know these things come at us at various ways and various levels, but I think we all know what I'm talking about. This stuff hits us, and we have to choose to push through it. So I want to go through real quick here before we close a few common curses that people place on themselves and on others. And a lot of these are personal to me. So the first one is I'm terrible at math. Well, it's not actually math. For me, it was mechanics. I was terrible at mechanics. I used to tell people I was born and they gave me a mechanical bypass and they gave it all to my brothers. I stopped saying that because I don't want to be mechanically stupid. I want to believe that I have a few, I want to believe that I can actually be mechanical and so that I can actually figure things out. But if I keep putting this curse over me that I gave my mechanical skills to my brother and they took it all those out of me, I for sure am not going to be mechanical minded. Okay, so the wines have bad backs or bad memories or anger problems. You ever hear that about your family? These are declarations we're putting out. Now, I'm wondering how many generations back somebody started declaring that their generation has bad backs. Then the continued generations, that curse being placed on them, that the rest of the generations, they have bad backs too. Or bad memories. These curses, these word curses are placed on us. In my situation, it was anger. The wines have anger. You come from Ireland or something is what my mom told me, and the wines are just all going to have anger problems. Really? It was a new thought to me when I realized this could be a spiritual problem. I thought it was a wine problem. I am serious. It feels pretty radically crazy to me right now to think about that, but that is where I was. The wines had anger problems. And my clicker stopped working. It's a test. Yes, I got it. All right. Okay, it's about that time of the year again. It's cold season, right? Right? It's cold season. You ever hear that? Yeah, it's the stuff we say all the time. No, it's not. I'm not going to claim a cold. This isn't cold season. Forget that. That's a curse. You just placed a curse over your life with your very words. Oh, this one here I've heard a lot. He's gay. He's ugly. Believe it or not, the boys that I know that from the city here who were more, I don't know, for lack of better words, I'll say feminine, other children would pick on him and say, you're gay. Believe it or not, they turned out to be gay. They weren't then. Those were word curses placed on them. I'm sick and tired of hearing that. You just placed a word curse on yourself. I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of getting sick and tired, so I'm going to stop saying sick and tired. I'm going to stop putting that word curse on me. But people say these things all the time. I've said these things all the time. I laugh my head off about that. I decide I don't want to laugh my head off anymore. I don't know what that means, but I don't want to laugh at a head off. I just want to laugh. So I stopped laughing my head off. I couldn't believe my eyes. I couldn't believe my ears. People give you a gift, and it's so awesome, I couldn't believe it. Wow. God does a miracle in your life, and he delivers a healing or a gift or whatever, and I can't believe it. And so he takes it back. Wow. This happens to people. It's a word curse. Our children are so selfish. They're so crabby. You know what? I don't want to declare that over my children. They might manifest crabby, but I'm not going to put those curses over my children. They are not crabby. I think we all understand that. We want to be honest, but neither do we want to put curses. I would die before I would let that happen. And I think, yeah, people actually do this, say these words. And some of them actually die. I heard a man recently who said, I would die for my dad. For my dad's salvation. And he died. We don't have to die for our dad's salvation. Jesus did that. Why do we say this stuff? It's actually scary. So we actually follow back what we say and where we end up. It's actually scary how real our words, how literal it happens. We waited for half of forever. You were just declaring out what half of forever is. A 10-minute time period is half of forever? Huh. I don't want half of forever to become part of my life when I wait. I'm going to stop waiting for half of forever. That just blows my mind. People talk like that, it just blows my mind. Flips a breaker, fries a fuse, whatever you want to say. I don't know what it looks like to flip a breaker in my mind or blow my mind, but I don't want to do it. I want a sound mind of God. And so I used to say that a lot. And so I choose to stop saying that. And that makes me so angry. He makes me so angry. We do this without thinking. This person over here, spouse, they make me so angry when they do that. Our children, they make me so angry when they do that. Well, we just declared out that that person makes me angry. No person can choose to make me angry. I break that off. I'm going to stop saying these curses. This is the kind of word declarations, curses that people say, and they have no idea how it is impacting and affecting their life. Now, so we go back to the beginning where we talked about we say one thing, we say we believe it, and then we actually disannul it or discredit it. So let's look at a few of them. Yes, I believe the Bible, but that verse doesn't apply to me today. You just said I don't believe the Bible because that verse don't apply to me today. Now, there might be some verses like that, but yes, I am a Christian, but I am living with my girlfriend. You just said I can be a Christian and do whatever I want. The truth will set you free, but life is short, so do what feels good. Don't work that way. You are saved by grace, but you better not sin. Now, we talked about being saved by faith. For the point, I questioned this one. The point, if the point you're making is you're saved by grace, and you can't save yourself, you can't be good enough to save yourself, then you better not be talking about people not sinning. Yes, you better not sin. But if you're trying to make a point, the blood of Jesus is enough, but I can't get rid of my anger problem. You just cancel the blood of Jesus for your anger problem. People do these things. We live like this. I believe in healing, but I'm just not comfortable praying for people to be healed. You just said, hey, I believe in healing, but no, I don't actually after all. Wow. So let's try these instead. In Christ, I have been given God's kingdom. You've been given God's kingdom? You believe that? Okay. In Christ, I do not lack any spiritual gift. Do you believe that? Wow, this is pretty good. In Christ, I have been given the mind of Christ. Wow, I'll take that one. In Christ, I am born of God, and the devil cannot touch me. You believe that? I'll take that. These are what the Bible says, by the way, not just stuff I came up with. In Christ, I am equipped for the ministry. Are you there? Do you feel equipped for the ministry? Probably not, but in Christ, I'm equipped for the ministry. And I believe that. And the clicker just happily stopped again. Sure, why? I am free of my old self. I can do the works. Wait. I can do the works that Jesus did and more. Do you believe that one? That gets pretty, whoa. That's what the Bible says. So I'm going to believe it, but I'm going to declare it out. I have his joy made complete in me. This doesn't give us an excuse to be upset anymore. I have his joy complete in me. Do you think if we're declaring out every day, I have the joy of Christ complete in me, do you think we're going to be suffering, struggling with depression? I doubt it. We are lining up our belief system with the Word of God. So what happens is many people try to reach their goals by changing how they speak, specifically about themselves. I want to be this, so I change how I speak. Well, but the catch is they don't always learn how to think how God thinks about them. So I am all about declarations. Let's say declarations that line up with the Word of God. But if we're more concerned about saying a declaration than we are about saying a declaration that lines up with the Word of God, we might not get the heart change that we're looking for. If you get the heart change by saying your declarations, agreeing with the truth, what you say is going to follow that. And it's going to come from the heart. Where you go is going to come from your heart. Because the focus the other way is if I can improve myself instead of the promise, what are the promises that God has promised me that I'm, as a child of God, supposed to live in? If we declare the promises that God has promised us, and we see it happen, we're going to believe it. It's going to come from our heart. Now, here's the verse. Luke 6:45 says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What is in our heart is what's going to come out. And so that is why it is so important to understand what the Bible says and declare it out. Get that in our heart. Agree with the truth. Agree with what God says and declare it out. Because out of the abundance of our heart, his mouth speaks. So that's what I have. God bless you guys. Go take a risk this week. Step out and pray for somebody or do something that you wouldn't do just because you want to stretch yourself and you want to do what God says you can do. God bless you.